The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text for this morning is Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, and I'll read verses 1 through 7. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 7, where Paul writes these words, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. What a profound passage this is. What insight was given to the Apostle Paul here by the Spirit of God. The instruction that is given here. The problem of the truth about man and the glory of God and His sovereign power. Here, are just let me give you just a few gleanings from the context here. About six things to start off. The perseverance of any gospel ministry depends upon God's mercy. That's what we see in verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So the perseverance of any gospel ministry depends not upon the minister, not upon the church, which that minister serves or ministers serves, but it depends solely, the perseverance of any gospel ministry depends solely upon God and His sovereign mercy. The second gleaning we see here is every God-ordained gospel ministry is here defined. We see that again in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And also, not only that, another thing that we can glean from this profound passage is gospel preaching alone. Now hear me now. Gospel preaching alone does not profit the lost. Look at what he says in verse 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So we see that the perseverance of any gospel ministry depends upon God's mercy. And every God-ordained gospel ministry is here defined. And gospel preaching alone does not profit the lost. But here's a fourth thing. Gospel preaching has one sole message. The gospel message is Jesus Christ the Lord. Look at it, verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." But not only that, we can also glean this from this text. Gospel preaching To be of any spiritual benefit, it must be preceded by and attended by a sovereign act of God in creative power. We read that again in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then the sixth thing is this: God uses clay pots. That's right, God uses clay pots, earthen vessels, as it says here. God uses clay pots for gospel preaching so that it is clear that He is the one doing the work and not the clay pots or the gospel ministers that He uses. Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." My time this morning does not allow me to deal with all six of these gleanings in detail by any means. I encourage those who are interested. I encourage those who have an interest in any of these six things or all of these six things to encourage you to do so later, to examine this passage and examine these six things in detail. But what I want to do this morning is I want to deal with the third, fourth, and fifth gleaning that I gave you. Let me give it to you again. Here's the third one: gospel preaching alone does not profit the lost. And here's number four: gospel preaching has one sole message, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And number five: gospel preaching, to be of spiritual benefit, it must be preceded by and attended by a sovereign act of God in creative power. So, my first point this morning is this: gospel preaching alone does not profit the lost. Now listen, again, let's read it. Listen to what Paul says: "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him." So again, I say that according to the authority of God's own word, this is what God, through the Apostle Paul, has clearly delineated here, that gospel preaching alone does not profit the lost. You see, the gospel message is hid to the lost. It is hid not by the clay pots. The clay pots, the ministers, the preachers of the gospel, they are proclaiming God's gospel. They are preaching Jesus Christ. They are preaching Christ Jesus the Lord and themselves, the servants of others for Jesus' sake. However, the lost, according to the Apostle Paul here, the lost are under satanic blindness. That's who he means. That's who he refers to when he says the God of this world. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You see, two things here this morning. First of all, mankind, that is the human race, mankind in Adam, is under spiritual bondage. Mankind is bound under natural and total depravity. Listen to what the Apostle Paul clearly said in Romans chapter 3. He was speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles in chapter 1 and 2 of Romans. And he says that the Jews had an advantage. They have an advantage, but then he comes to this point in verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they?" That is, are the Jews better than the Gentiles? And then Paul goes on. "And what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, this is the natural state of every son and daughter of Adam that has ever been born or will be born into this world. That is, again, mankind is bound under natural and total depravity, but all the lost, all who believe not only are they under this natural and total depravity in and of themselves through the fall of Adam, and that they were made sinners in that, but all the lost, all who believe not, they are all under satanic blindness as well. It is a blindness to the very message, a blindness to the very person of Jesus Christ the Lord. It is a blindness to the very work of Jesus Christ the Lord. It is a blindness to the very light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And the gospel does not shine unto the lost. They have a natural depravity. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. But on top of that, there is this satanic blindness, a natural blindness and a satanic blindness. The gospel, and even in all of its glory, and which Paul says, lest the light, they are blinded, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the gospel doesn't shine to the lost. The unbeliever, that is, the regenerate, those that are not converted, they are all under this natural darkness and natural depravity and natural corruption, and they're also under this satanic blindness. They cannot see it. They cannot see it. This is why when men like me or my brother Joe Galusik or many others, when we stand forth to preach the gospel of Christ, men see it as foolishness. Some see it as a stumbling block. Why? Because of their natural corruption and depravity, and because of this satanic blindness. The God of this world has blinded their minds. If they're not a believer, if they've never been regenerated, if they've never been converted, then they're blind to the very message that is the only hope of sinners. But nevertheless, there is hope. There is hope. Here's number two. Gospel preaching, when preceded by and attended by a sovereign act of God in creative power, it will be gloriously seen. That's what the Apostle Paul makes clear. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But then he goes on in verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, I said first of all that gospel preaching will be of benefit to a man or a woman when it is preceded by a sovereign act of God in creative power. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1. And he said this concerning Jesus Christ. He says in John 1, and beginning in verse 11, he came unto his own, that is, Jesus Christ came unto the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, that means the right or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you see that? But listen to the next verse. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you see, for any person to be able to receive Christ, for any person to be able to believe on his name, for any person to be able to see the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby they can believe on him, receive him in saving grace and faith, they must first be born, which were born. And they weren't born of blood. They weren't born of the will of the flesh. They weren't born of the will of man, but they were born of God. So you see that gospel preaching, when preceded by a sovereign act of God in creative power, in creative birth, born of God, it will be glorious scene. Of course, our Lord also, remember the account of our Lord speaking to Nicodemus, and our Lord said these words in John chapter 3 and in verse 3. Remember what he said? Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, or verily, verily, as we read in the KJV, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, he can't see. He can't see. He's blinded unless he's first born again. This is clearly what our Lord Jesus Christ taught, that gospel preaching, when preceded by a sovereign act of God in creative power, that gospel will be gloriously seen, but it must be preceded by a sovereign act of God in creative power. But remember, I also said that it must be attended by a sovereign act of God in creative power. This is not God does some preceding work and then leaves the rest up to an individual. That's not what the scripture teaches. I said that gospel preaching, when preceded by and attended by a sovereign act of God in creative power, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be gloriously seen. It will come into the heart and the mind and the soul, and it will conquer the heart and the mind and the soul. It will conquer the intellect and the affections and the will. You remember in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, it says that the apostle Paul went down by the riverside. There were some people there, and they seemed to have been the custom that they gathered there to pray. And there was a woman named Lydia of the city of Thyatira. She was a seller of purple. And as scripture says this in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. Do you see it? You see, God Almighty must act in a sovereign, creative power. He must act. God Almighty must give birth. He must give life unto the blinded. He must give sight unto the blind, life unto the dead, and sight unto the blinded. So that gospel preaching, when preceded by and attended by this sovereign act of the God of creation, the gospel will be gloriously seen. You see, the same sovereign God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness back in the creation at the beginning, that creation recorded in the first book and chapter of the scripture, when it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth by a sovereign act of power, that God spoke all these things into existence, that same sovereign God who commanded that light to shine out of darkness and that creation, that same God himself must shine in the heart first. Do you see it? Look, for God, back at our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, what hope there is for a sinner. What hope there is for a sinner under God's sovereign act, under God's sovereign work, under God's sovereign purpose, and under God's sovereign will. You see, he that is God, he must, and he at his sovereign pleasure does shine in hearts today. He must, and he does, in his sovereign pleasure, at his sovereign time, he will shine into the hearts of men and women. He will break down this darkness, this blindness. He must. And at his sovereign pleasure, he does shine in the heart. But not only that, neither you nor I can initiate nor thwart that creative command. It is not in your power to start it or stop it. It's not in my power to start it or stop it. This is within the sovereign will of God Almighty. And the last thing, a people shall see. Why? Because Paul says so. Because God promised eternal life before the world began. So a people shall see, and God himself shall and is seeing to it that a people shall see. So then my third thing, what was it? What was my third thing? Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Do you see it? In other words, here's my third point, and I will change the wording a little. Here's my third point. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. You see, it is not ours to enable or make men to see. It is not ours to be able to cast away the blindness and that work of the devil. It's not ours to cast away the natural depravity and corruption of the human heart. That's within God's sovereign power and God's sovereign will. God alone can perform that work. And it's not ours to enable men or to make men to see, but we are given the privilege to preach him whom even those who are bound under satanic blindness shall see when God himself is pleased to make them to see. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen to it again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Nevertheless, Paul still goes on and says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But the question begs, but if they can't see, then why preach? Here's why. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, do you see it? According to the Apostle Paul, here's our privilege. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. Why? Even though there are those who, even though chosen of God before the foundation of the world, even though God set his love and mercy and compassion upon them before the foundation of the world, even they are born into this world just like all others. They are under the bondage of natural and total depravity in themselves. They're under the blindness of satanic darkness and satanic hiding, even of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God Almighty, in his sovereign mercy, in his sovereign grace, in that predestinating, electing love, he purposed to come into this world by the power of the Spirit and to give life and light within the soul of these people, to banish the darkness, that blindness that has overrun these people, that satanic darkness. And God himself has purposed, the one who commanded the light to shine out of darkness back in the beginning, that same God shines in men and women's hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So again, I say, preach Christ, preach Christ, preach his person, preach who he is, preach he's God manifest in the flesh, preach his person, preach his work. We preach his merit, not our own. We have no merit before God. All we are sin and degradation and corruption. So preach Christ. We preach his person, we preach his work, we preach his merits, we preach his perfections, we preach his sovereignty, we preach his virgin birth, we preach his impeccability, we preach his substitutionary penal satisfaction to God. We preach that he was made sin for a people, that those people might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We preach his blood and justification thereby. We preach his resurrection. We preach his exaltation. Why? Why do we preach that? Because someone will see it, in spite of men's natural depravity, in spite of their total depravity, in spite of their natural blindness, in spite of the satanic blindness that covers the face of all humanity, lest they could even see the gospel of Christ. Yet someone will see it. Why? Because God Almighty has been pleased to act. Let me read it to you again. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, give thanks to God for the glory and mercy of His sovereign work, that He makes us to see. He makes us to see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.